Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in. It's Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. That means it's time for Hummingbird Place, your home for romance, with your hostess, Donna Wright. Tuesday is the end of the world, from Dark Hollows Press. Author D.J. Liamson brings us Secret Service agent Grant Dwyer, retired 2 days ago, so of course, that's when the dead start rising from their graves, initialing the beginning of the zombie apocalypse. Grant's instincts tell him the solution to solving everything lies within the Secret Service headquarters in Washington, D.C., if he can get there. Is the mysterious and straight engineer he meets on the way an ally? Will he shut off his feelings, or will this attraction actually find something that can stop the zombies and save humanity, and possibly himself? End of the World by D.J. Liamson, available January 12th. Leanne Tyler's newest release, A Letter, A Garden, A Journal, A Chance at Love, Secrets on River Road. Madison Franklin is called to Wyndham House in the late spring of 1920. Curiosity for a side of her family she knows nothing about draws her in and leads her deeper and deeper in unraveling the Wyndham past. She and her intriguing new neighbor, Connor Montgomery, become fast friends, and as their relationship grows, they discover more secrets on River Road than either could have ever imagined. Leanne Tyler's Secrets on River Road, available where all fine books are sold. Good evening and welcome. Thank you for visiting Hummingbird Place, your home for romance. We're glad you've joined us in the Dark Hollows Press parlor. Donna Wright has authors Hildy McQueen, Stacey Chuba, and Josie McCade on the couch this evening to tell us more about themselves. Updates on the Romancing the Smokies event this coming March 19th. Mallory Kane will have the news and info in the romance and publishing industry at the bottom of the hour. All that and Miss Shimmers, too, with a book review this week on Hummingbird Place, your home for romance. Brought to you by Dark Hollows Press. I'm Jackie DeVera, and now your jocund maven for tonight's episode, Donna Wright.
I want to ask a question. Leanne Tyler's with me, and so is Hildy McQueen. Welcome, ladies. I'm not sure what it is she just called me, but should I be mad?
Let's see. It sounded like, didn't she say something about jockeying?
I'm about the right height for it. Aren't you supposed to be really small to be a jockey? Unfortunately, I don't think to be a jockey you're supposed to be as broad as you are long, so that kind of puts me out.
Maybe riding a big horse.
Yeah.
Oh, she'll be Duloc from Shrek.
Okay.
You know how he's so tiny.
We have got one of my favorite people on the planet, Miss Hildy McQueen, my buddy. How you doing, Hildy?
Great. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. It's so good to have you on. I know that you're in the ring in a cowboy, so why don't you tell us a little bit about that Lola's going to come on the line, isn't she, and talk to us?
If I can corral her, she's kind of having a bad day. She doesn't want to be talked to today. She's 2 years old and has that attitude.
Oh, is she like that actress? She just wants to be left alone?
Yes. That's her.
Okay, we've had several of the Ring and a Cowboy peeps on here, and sounds like some really great writing. So tell us a little bit about Under a Silver Moon.
Well, it's a story about this deputy. His name is Lucas McCade, and he is just took over there being a lawman for Silver City in Silver City, Idaho. And he has taken interest in this girl. Her name is Camille, and she runs the town's apothecary. And she's interested in him as well. But she's got some pretty deep secrets in her past and keeps her from seeking any kind of a relationship. But of course, you know that that's not going to stop these two.
Of course not. Is she beautiful?
So, yeah. She is a very pretty girl. She's a brunette, small, kind of like you, you know, little.
That's what I was going to ask. And did you base her on me?
I almost did. The only thing I left off is I think her eyes are brown and yours are not brown.
That's pretty cool, Hildy, that you remember I have blue eyes. Oh, Leanne's going to get jealous.
What's the blue
chili?
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, but she is I am having so much fun writing this story because it's, you know, going back to the West and writing in a totally different town that I normally write in. Same time with around the, you know, 1860s, that time of the American history. So it's a lot of fun for me to write, to write.
Has Ring and a Cowboy, how's it doing? Are you guys doing pretty well with it?
It's doing good. It's doing good. It was top 20 something for the first, you know, when it released.
Right.
It was doing really well. It's still on sale for 99 cents. Oh, there's Lola. I don't know if you can hear her. But she decided that she's going to pipe in. But yeah,
well,
it's a great anthology.
I am so glad because you have so many talented people in this one.
Oh, I know.
It's crazy.
That I was invited to be part of it.
Really? Now, I don't know if I asked anybody else this or not, but Under the Silver Moon and Ring and a Cowboy, are these indie pubbed or are you guys with a publisher on this?
No, we are. This is an indie pub. Actually, Victoria Vane is the one that spearheaded it.
Mm-hmm.
And so she is the one that is a publisher for it.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, I know Victoria
mm-hmm.
well. She's
mm-hmm.
a real sweet
gal. So she's publishing
gal.
It. And it's a bunch of really good stories. It's a lot of, you know, a little bit of sexy, a little bit of fun. And like you said, some of the really amazing writers are in this anthology.
Including yourself.
Yeah, and I can be amazing, and you know, given a couple drinks.
Absolutely.
And a whirl.
So tell me a little bit. We haven't had a chance to really talk in the last few months. So
I know. Where have you been?
I've just been doing things. What can I say? I'm getting back into writing and
awesome.
really loving that. And I've got some big plans over the next 3 months. And, you know, of course, we've got Romancing the Smokies that you're missing. And I don't understand that since you go to everything in the world. I mean, I think you've been to the moon,
right?
Haven't you?
I am cutting back a lot this year. I'm actually starting to cut back this year. And then for next year, I'll be cutting back even more. I want to write longer books and take my
mm-hmm.
time. And just travel really takes some time away from that. And not just the time that you're at the convention, but
right.
I don't know about you, but I am exhausted afterwards. I need a couple,
oh my gosh.
2-3 days to come
oh
down
my gosh.
And come back.
I am tempted to take the day off after.
Uh-huh.
I mean, seriously.
Oh, yeah, you
just,
have to.
You know. So as far as writing, though, is concerned, what have you been doing in the last, say, 6 months? What's been going on? I mean, everybody knows you're the big conference hoe. Everybody knows that.
Yeah,
I mean.
Course.
You know, that goes without saying. You're everybody's favorite conference host.
Thank you.
So,
well, we had an amazing idea, this project that was spearheaded by Kirsten Osborne. And it was I was so lucky to be part of it. And we had 45 authors doing 50 books in consecutive
oh, wow.
order of the for each state of the union. As the state became a state, that's when the book was ordered. And so I was number 44. I wrote, they're all mail order brides, and I got to write Judith, Bride of Wyoming. And so
wow.
my state was number 44, and they are all doing amazing. It's called the American Mail Order Bride Series. And I tell you what, that was the project that I was wondering how it was going to do and how the readers would accept it. And it is amazing, fun. They were all the same, you know, Western historical romances, all with
mm-hmm.
the same theme. All the women, the stories were all linked by a factory in Massachusetts, and that's where the story started. And so that has been like a project that started back in November, and it just ended. The 8th, I think, was the last state, which was Hawaii, Bride of Hawaii.
But what you guys did, however, was you started, you're talking November of 2014.
No, we did one book a day.
Oh, my goodness.
We started releasing them in November, and every day, the very next day, for 50 consecutive days, a book was
oh,
released.
My gosh.
And
that
those
is
readers
so
are keeping
cool.
up, let me tell you. Isn't
that
it crazy?
It is. It's just crazy. But it's
it
fabulous.
It is so much
it's
fun.
So tell me about your book that's in this one, the American... Now, to give me the title again.
Her, my bride is Judith, Judith Bride of Wyoming, and it's book number 44, and it's about Judith Hamilton. And she arrives in Casper, Wyoming, to find that the man she is supposed to marry, because most of the women that went west, they applied, you know, they signed or wrote letters to men in the groom's gazette. And mm-hmm. when she got to Casper, Wyoming, her groom was dead.
Well, you know, that can really make a problem, especially for the ceremony.
I know, right? Yeah, so that is the twist in the story. She ends up coming there, and her groom is dead, but the railroad worker that's there feels bad for her and realizes that there's a local blacksmith who's a single dad, the woman that left him and the baby. So he needs somebody to take care of that baby.
Wow, that's a fabulous story. And you say there's 50 of them, and they all take place in the 1800s.
Correct. And I can't remember the exact year, to be honest with you, right now. I want to say 1870, maybe. Let me think. 1890.
How do you do a mail order bride for Florida, Hawaii? I mean, some of these places just don't seem to, you know, to click with me at mail order bride.
Yeah, by the 1890s, a lot of them were already states. So even if they were not a state, they were probably a territory of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest with you, I haven't looked into the mail order bride, because I was kind of curious, like you, about the mail order, the last of the mail order brides. Like, I think, California was a state, but, you know, like Washington State and those states that were later joined the Union. So those would probably be the most interesting ones to read, because you had to be a little bit more creative to get those done.
Well, I guess if you were the mail order bride of Alaska, you'd be like a bridesickle, you think?
Donna.
What do you think, Hildy? Leanne, I mean, come on.
I think
can you
so?
Probably.
Yes.
Okay.
Everybody's like, I don't know what to say. What should I say? Okay, what's next? What is next for the Hildy McQueen conference host?
I am. Well, I'm going to be writing some, I have a Shades of Blue series, that's a Western historical series, and I'm about mm-hmm. to start the spinoff on that, so I'm super excited about that.
Well, what shades are they going to be?
They're going to be blue also, Shades of Blue.
Okay.
But these are going to be the Caldwells, which are going to be cousins to the Coles.
So is that going to be like darker shades of blue, lighter shades of blue, more medium shades?
You know what? It's
of
a good idea to maybe I should make them darker shades of blue, huh? Make them a little meaner. Make them a little meaner.
Yeah, when people are first starting to write and they say, "Will you look at this for me?" or "Will you, you know, mm-hmm. what do you think about this critique that I got?" or whatever. And it's just like I tell them, it's your book. It's wonderful.
Yes, everybody's different.
You take a little bit of advice. You take what you want. Critiquing, when somebody critiques you, it's a buffet. If you don't want to put a comma there, it's your book. Don't put the comma there.
I know, and a lot of people get so worried about what other people are thinking about their writing, and they make so many changes, it's not their story anymore.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You have to be really careful, very careful with that. It's
Absolutely.
Hard, though.
It is hard.
I
especially
have a hard time critiquing anymore.
Yeah, I don't really like to critique other people's work. I will every now and then. Like, I'll critique Leanne's. Hers is good. I don't have to say. I just say, it looks good to me. Go on. Because, I mean, now.
Then I get to tear hers apart. Yeah.
She is much more prolific than I am now, and... Leanne's been doing all kinds of cool things while I've been basically sitting here petting Bebo the Wonder Hound.
You've been fluttering. Like a butterfly.
I've been fluttering. I've had two or three different things going on that's been taken away from the writing, but the writing is starting to fall back into place. So we're going to do that.
And, you know, it's like riding a bike.
Yeah. It really is.
But,
basically,
I mean,
all
you
need
a little
is,
bit. Yeah.
Hey, listen, all you really need is the story. if the story will come to you, you can do the craft and everything on the second go around.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. That's exactly. Just tell the story first.
Right, exactly. And that's Hilde McQueen, and she's just going to tell the story. She's got Under a Silver Moon in the Ring and a Cowboy series. There's 15 million authors in that one, right?
About, yeah, or maybe 13 million.
How many seriously stories are there in the Ring and a Cowboy? Hilde, that's
nine. There's nine.
Okay. And so next up for you, Hilde, you're just going to get back to riding.
Back into riding, back on the horse.
All right. Well, listen, we will have to get together sometime soon.
Oh, most definitely.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you so much for having me.
Anytime you want to be on, you just call in. I'll put you on.
Okay.
All right, honey. Take care. Ladies and gentlemen, Hilde McQueen. You can find out more about her at hildemcqueen.com. She is just one of my favorite people in the world that I've met in this crazy business that we're in. We're going to be right back after this with the one and only Stacy Juba. Stay tuned.
Romancing the Smokies? Well, it's a romance reader's dream. There'll be multiple book signings, endless chances for author meet and greet, and a fine luncheon to look forward to. The Hummingbird Place is bringing together authors and readers March 19th at the Airport Hilton in Knoxville, Tennessee. Romance writers from around the region are attending Romancing the Smokies. The list includes Hallie Bridgman, J.K. Inslee, Mallory Kane, Shannon West, Sandy Sullivan, Leanne Tyler, Brandy Kennedy, Trista Ann Michaels, Jean Joachim, and Nancy Nagel, and many more. Keynote speaker Tanya Kappas will share with us how she accomplished success in the self-publishing industry with HarperCollins and Witness, plus how she gains inspiration for her ghostly Southern stories. It's a luncheon for readers and authors, March 19th. Tickets are available online at eventbrite.com under Romancing the Smokies 2016. Tickets start at $39.99. Romancing the Smokies. Meet who's hot. Visit RomancingTheSmokies.com for more details. Elegant luncheon, featured authors, books, swag, and gift basket giveaways. Romancing the Smokies is brought to you by the Hummingbird Place from the Dark Hollows Press Studio, airing on Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, Leanne Tyler, are you with me?
Yes, I am.
We have to discuss something before we bring Stacy on. Where in the world is Mallory Kane?
I have heard she may be incognito, or she may be incommunicado, but I cannot find those on the map. Have you figured it out?
Well, as far as I know, incognito is a little place just north. Well, cognito is a little place just north of Cozumel in Mexico.
Okay.
And then comunicado, my understanding is that it is a little town south of St. Augustine, Florida.
Did she take her raincoat and hat?
I don't know. I didn't
Did
see her when she left.
When she left?
I didn't see one. Then again, you know, she lives out on the gazebo. And
that's
I don't always see what she's got out there. Well, yeah, she took an umbrella.
Or binoculars.
No, not binoculars.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just have to kind of check around and see what we can find. In the meantime, why don't we welcome Stacy Juba to Hummingbird Place. Stacy, welcome to Hummingbird Place. You're on the air with Leanne Tyler and Donna Wright.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Sorry, I didn't realize my mic was live last time.
And you were laughing at me.
I know, and saying things. Uh-oh.
I know. Stacy, she's mean to me. I'm just going to tell you right now. Yeah, she's mean to me. Okay. Leanne, you have everything in front of you, I'm sure, so you know that Stacy has a new book out called Fooling Around with Cinderella. Now, I got to ask some questions about that. All right. First off, what made you decide to write a Cinderella story?
Well, I was on a vacation with my family. I have two daughters. And we went to a theme park where they had Cinderella. And I think I had princesses on the brain because a couple of weeks before that, we had gone like on a Disney lunch cruise with, and the princesses were there.
Mm-hmm.
So this was like the second princess thing we had done in a couple of weeks. And after we went and the kids had their pictures taken with Cinderella, I was just kind of walking through the park. And I remember I just stopped short because this idea like just flooded into my head. It was just like a concept of a reluctant theme park Cinderella who fell for her boss. And I remember my husband saying to me, "You have that look in your eye. Do you have an idea for a book?" And I said, "Yeah, actually, I do." And before that, I usually wrote mystery novels, and I knew that this wasn't a mystery, that this was this just concept came to me for like a light romantic comedy. So I got the idea right in the middle of the theme park.
Wow. So now you're saying it's a Storybook Valley novel. Does that mean that there's going to be more princess stories?
Yes, not necessarily princess stories, but their Storybook Valley is a fictional theme park, a fairy tale theme park, so each mm-hmm. book will be set there. And each book will have the same recurring characters but different leads. So
right.
In Fooling Around with Cinderella, the main characters are Jane and Dylan. And the next book that I'm working on now, it's called Prancing Around with Sleeping Beauty, and it's about Dylan's sister. And Dylan and Jane are still in it, but they take a back seat. And his sister, Rory, it's about her romance, her story. So it's
and
fun
so-
to keep.
Is yeah. Sleeping Beauty just one of the princesses there at Storybook Valley?
She actually isn't. Like in the Cinderella book, Jane is playing Cinderella for the summer, but in the Sleeping Beauty book, it's a family-owned, independently-owned theme park, and the parents and grandparents are kind of fairy tale obsessed, so they name their daughter Aurora
mm-hmm.
After Aurora Sleeping Beauty.
Right.
And they're just very, her family's just very obsessed with Sleeping Beauty. So it's kind of like a, she calls herself Rory, but she's a dance instructor. So originally it was going to be Dancing Around with Sleeping Beauty. And then my husband said, "Oh, you should call it Prancing Around with Sleeping Beauty because that sounds a little more playful, a little more chick-lit." So I said, "Okay, thanks. I like that."
Now, are you publishing these on your own or do you have a publisher?
I'm publishing them on my own.
Is that also how you do your mysteries?
Yes. Originally, when my mysteries were published, I was working with a small press for the paperback version, and I had the ebook rights.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm just doing everything on my own. Like, I kind of like being having that freedom to do my covers and editing and all of that. So that's been going well.
You know, that is the one thing that a lot of people want the control over is those covers.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, my husband actually did the cover of the Fooling Around with Sleeping Beauty. Fooling Around with Cinderella book. He did the cover for that because he's a graphic designer. So
I can remember it's been several years ago. I was at a function with some very well-known authors. I mean, New York Times, the whole bit. And they were complaining about their covers because even they didn't have any control over their covers.
Right, and that's frustrating. Yeah, I've mm-hmm. been in that situation before also. So
that's why
nice
you've decided to take
that.
Control. Well, you know,
yeah.
Leanne has done the same thing. She has taken control of her career, and now she just indie publishes, and she just publishes whatever she wants, don't you, Leanne?
That's right.
That's right. She's just really publishing her own stuff. So now, if I want to find you, I can find you at StacyJuba.com. But, Stacy, what's next for you? I realize you want to do your Sleeping Beauty story, but are you going to go back to mystery?
I think I'm going to stay with the series for a while. I'd like to do a prequel short story and trying to make it free. I have a name for it called The Cinderella Curse, and it's just about Cinderella book, Fooling Around with Cinderella, is about how Jane gets roped into playing Cinderella for the summer. She's actually a marketing coordinator. And Dylan kind of convinces her to play Cinderella for the summer because he has a Cinderella curse where all their Cinderellas just aren't working out. Like they come in goth or have morning sickness and throw up in the castle, things like that. So that I want to do the little prequel story from Dylan's perspective about the Cinderella curse leading up to when he meets Jane at the very end. I thought that would be a fun thing. And then I had some ideas for other characters. Like there's a character named Crystal who plays Red Riding Hood at the park. And several people have already asked me when I'm going to do Crystal's story, like Red Riding Hood's story. So they're not all necessarily princess, but they're all like a fairy tale theme.
And we are on the couch here at Hummingbird Place with Stacey Juba and Leanne Tyler. And we'll be back right after this.
Passion. I love it. I'm betting you do too. At Dark Hollows Press, we have every essence of passion, whatever your enjoyment level. It doesn't matter if it's swirled through historicals, sprinkled in contemporaries, or mixed up in paranormal. I savor it. Every rich, creamy, luscious morsel. When hungering for your flavor of passion, you have to explore Dark Hollows Press. With every genre of romance, whether you like cowboys, dukes, vampires, sci-fi, or shapeshifters, you'll find something at Dark Hollows Press to devour. No matter your penchant, Dark Hollows Press can gratify for a little while until your next yearning strikes, and then come back to darkhollowspress.com. Dark Hollows Press and passions worth staying up all night for.
All right, we're on the couch here at Hummingbird Place with Stacey Juba. We've already talked with Hildy McQueen this evening, and Leanne Tyler's on the couch with me, and I'm going to let her talk a minute. Leanne, you may talk to Stacey.
Okay. Well, I just love the whole concept. I mean, I was reading the blurb, and that is just awesome about this story. And I don't think I'm going to get it and read it. And I'll be interested in seeing how the second book goes, because it sounds just as interesting. So I love fairy tales myself. So
thank you. And I'm actually, I've actually founded a group called the Glass Slipper Sisters, of a group of 15 authors of Cinderella romance novels. So we just released a free book called The Cinderella Treasure Trove. And that has that actually has an excerpt of Fooling Around with Cinderella in it, along with excerpts of 14 other Cinderella romances. And then it has recipes and party tips if you want to throw your own ball or Cinderella party. So that's a fun book too if people want to kind of sample Fooling Around with Cinderella and sample some other romances. So
that's a pretty cool idea.
So I guess
I'm
into fairy tales too.
Yeah, it is.
That is really great. I love the idea of just getting together, and when you're just offering that for free.
It's free, yeah. It's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and pretty much all the retailers. And we're giving away, I think, three more days to a giveaway if anybody wants to enter. We're giving away our Pamper Yourself Like a Princess prize pack, which has jewelry and Cinderella movies and chocolate and things like that. So if they go to my website, to my blog or my Glass Slipper Sisters page on my website, there's a raffle copter form like down at the bottom. So so there's still chances to win for that. So we're having a lot of fun promoting it.
Well, that is fabulous.
Oh, yes.
I love it. Well, our time has drawn nigh, as we say, and we're going to talk a little news, and then we're going to have a wonderful, wonderful review by Ms. Shimmers. But we have loved having you, Stacey. I hope you'll come back and see us again.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
It's been our pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, Stacey Juba. You can learn more about her at stacyjuba.com. And just for the record, I'm going to spell that for you. STACYJUBA, stacyjuba.com. It's been wonderful having her. We will be right back after this.
January 19 sees the release of The Mate of the Tiger Prince by Shannon West. book one in a new series. Diplomatic marriages between members of different planets certainly aren't unheard of, but for Prince Mikos of Tigeria and Colonel Ryan Donnelly of Earth, it might just be a fate worse than death. The union is meant to end a devastating war that has lasted for over 150 years, but the Colonel also just happens to be a sworn enemy, not to mention completely, utterly irritating. Shannon West's new series, Book One, Mate of the Tiger Prince, out January 19th.
Thank you for joining us at Hummingbird Place, your home for romance. We come to you each week from the Dark Hollows Press Studio. For more fun and information, join us at thehummingbirdplace.com. There you can find out about our upcoming shows and events such as Romancing the Smokies, a live event in 2016. Remember, just go to thehummingbirdplace.com.
Romancing the Smokies? Well, it's a romance reader's dream. There'll be multiple book signings, endless chances for author meet and greet, and a fine luncheon to look forward to. The Hummingbird Place is bringing together authors and readers March 19th at the Airport Hilton in Knoxville, Tennessee. Romance writers from around the region are attending Romancing the Smokies. The list includes Hallie Bridgman, J.K. Inslee, Mallory Kane, Shannon West, Sandy Sullivan, Leanne Tyler, Brandy Kennedy, Trista Ann Michaels, Jean Joachim, and Nancy Nagel, and many more. Keynote speaker Tanya Kappas will share with us how she accomplished success in the self-publishing industry with HarperCollins and Witness, plus how she gains inspiration for her ghostly Southern stories. It's a luncheon for readers and authors March 19th. Tickets are available online at eventbrite.com under Romancing the Smokies 2016. Tickets start at $39.99. Romancing the Smokies. Meet who's hot. Visit RomancingTheSmokies.com for more details. Elegant luncheon, featured authors, books, swag, and gift basket giveaways. Romancing the Smokies is brought to you by The Hummingbird Place from the Dark Hollows Press Studio, airing on Blog Talk Radio.
And we are here, myself and Leanne Tyler. And, you know, really, we don't know where Mallory Kane is. She says she could either be incognito or incommunicado. Now, everyone knows incognito, that, you know, cognito is a little place in Mexico, and comunicado is a little place in Florida. So it could be either place. She didn't want us to know. So all I can tell you is, you know, where in the world is Mallory Kane? Nobody really knows.
You know, that was the same thing with Carmen San Diego and, you know, that other adventurous little boy cartoon. You remember those? When we was growing up, nobody ever could find them.
Now, actually, Carmen
San Diego.
Actually, all of those weren't when I was growing up. Let me just say that. I was grown and
yes,
still couldn't find them.
You said last week. So.
Oh, yeah.
Play along.
Play along, gotcha.
Actually.
Yeah, I remember that.
I know we don't have romance news, but I do know that a lot of people are reeling over the shock of the passing of David Bowie today. Have you heard of that, Donna?
Oh, yeah. In fact, it's so funny you should bring that up, because that was the one thing I was going to talk about for news today, is that, you know, David Bowie, I don't know. Anyway, he's been around ever since I can remember, just about.
Yeah, longer than I can remember, actually.
Yeah, really. David Robert Jones, born January 8, 1947, died January 10, 2016, known professionally as David Bowie, was an English singer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, record producer, arranger, painter, and actor. He was a figure in popular music for over five decades. That's a long time.
That is.
And his androgynous appearance was iconic. I think, though, that a lot of people really think of him as the Goblin King. He was the Goblin King in that Labyrinth. Was it Labyrinth?
Oh, okay, yes.
No, not with Tom Cruise. I'm trying to remember. That was in 1986. It was an American adventure fantasy film directed by Jim Henson, executive producer George Lucas. And Jennifer Connelly was just a young girl who played in it.
Uh-huh.
And she was in this labyrinth, or what I would call a maze, and he was the Goblin King. And all of the other characters were from Jim Henson's Creature Shop.
Oh.
So
well,
it was
Tom Cruise's thing. Wasn't he in that?
He was in something called Legend. He was in a fantasy story called Legend.
Oh. Okay. Well, I just got him confused. Sorry. I never
That's
watched
okay.
it, so I didn't know.
Well, I think that I bet you that a lot of people will be buying Labyrinth. Now that he has passed away, there's going to be more interest in it again.
Uh-huh.
You know how that goes. When somebody passes away,
sure.
that happens. So, anyway, I'm like you. I do hate it that he has passed away. Had no idea he was sick. And
I don't think a lot of people did.
I think he pretty much kept that to himself. But anyway, this morning I was getting ready for work, and I heard that somebody had passed away, but I didn't get to hear who. And then a few moments later, I came in, and they said, David Bowie. And I thought, my gosh, you know, is he old enough to be, you know, leaving us like that? And you know, anymore, 69 is kind of young. So,
yep.
No. Or maybe it's just as we get closer to the end of being 29, we start feeling like it's much younger than we thought. Maybe that's what it is. Well, we're going to have Josie McCade on later, but for right now, if you'll hang on, Leanne, I'm going to take you off the mic, and I'm going to bring on the one and only Ms. Shimmers, and she's going to give us a wonderful book review. Welcome, Ms. Shimmers.
Oh, hello. How are you?
I was just thinking
about David Bowie. The Labyrinth was one of my absolute favorite movies growing up. And I can't even read the Legends of the Goblin King without picturing him. He is the Goblin King.
He was, as I recall, that was a really cool movie.
Yeah, it was. It was a lot of fun.
So
I'm actually supposed to be here tonight talking about V.L. Edwards' To Live Again. And I did not write a formal review about this one, Donna, because I wanted to talk to you about it.
Okay.
I wanted to say that I believe I have mentioned in the past that I'm not a historical romance fan.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to have to apologize to everyone tonight and say that maybe what I meant was I'm not a fan of whiny, bratty, troublemaking female leads.
Like Scarlett O'Hara.
Well, I'm just not a fan.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes, it gets to the point where you've caused so many of these problems yourself that you deserve what happens to you. So I can't feel you in the book. You know what I mean? If you don't connect mm-hmm. with a character, you don't care what happens to that character.
Right.
And I thought that was the basis of historical romance. But To Live Again has taught me that I was completely wrong in judging this genre. And this, I fell in love with both characters, the male and female lead, before I was halfway through the first chapter. I worried about them, stressed about them. I read it from beginning to end without laying it down. It was wonderful. It's a story about a widower who's still young, but his wife died in a house fire. He couldn't get her out. He got their son out. He couldn't get her out. But he suffered some horrible scars on his body because the fire beam fell on him. And because of that, he's been 3 years in mourning because this his wife, he loved her beyond belief. It's like they were betrothed to one another at
mm-hmm.
birth. So they had been friends from childhood up. And they were, he thought that was his soulmate. And he went into deep mourning, and he actually had a title. He was an earl of something. I'm not good with those things. But anyway, his mother took his son to raise, and he quit going to Parliament. And basically what he was doing is once a month to have female companionship, he would go to the cities out of town and pick up a prostitute because he didn't want his friends to know he was doing this, but he wouldn't go out with any women they tried to set him up with because he was embarrassed for his scars. He didn't want anybody to touch him or see him or anything. So a prostitute would let him blindfold her and tie her hands. He didn't have to worry about that with them.
Right.
So he goes out this one particular night, and he runs into this young girl who's not dressed like a prostitute, doesn't look like one, doesn't act like one, but when he asked her to come with him, she agrees, but she asked for a ridiculous amount, like 10 pounds instead of 1 pound, which was apparently normal.
Mm-hmm.
And come to find out, you know, when they get together, that she's real nervous acting. He keeps putting all these, he's sort of worried about the interaction because she's not acting exactly right. But he's just all out of his mind because she's so beautiful. He wants her anyway. And it ends up that she was a virgin. And basically what her story was her mother, her stepmother and father had been killed in a carriage accident, and she's trying to raise her two little brothers and sisters. And they had just run out of money and run out of food and didn't have anything to eat the day before. So she was like, this was the last thing she could think to do before they got kicked out of the boarding house that they were in. But he felt so bad when he found out, like, that she was a virgin, and then he asked her story and made her tell him that he married her the next day. And the thing about it was their chemistry was so amazing that you wanted them to fall in love so bad. It made me believe in, like, love just happening again. It was a wonderful story, and nothing horrible happens that, you know, that drives me crazy. Everything's going along fine and something horrible happens. I mean, life's difficult and they have ups and downs, but they eventually, his heart's closed off for his first wife, but, you know, that eventually, that's what she's working towards, is to get him to love her, and he does. And there's so much, they're both better for it. Their whole family's better for it. Their children and everything else. So it was a wonderful story. I give it 5 stars. I highly recommend it to anyone who loves love. This is a wonderful story.
That is fabulous. I'm so glad to hear you enjoyed it. And you said it's 5 stars for V.L. Edwards, To Live Again.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Well, that's fabulous. I know her. I'm going to call her and tell her.
I truly enjoyed it. I really did. I was surprised. I mean, I knew it would be a good book, but I didn't think I would love it as much as I did.
Yeah. Well, you knew the author could write. You just wondered if it would be something you would be interested in.
Yeah. I mean, when you put a book down, after you close that last page, and you put the book down, and those people stay in your mind, even when you try to go to sleep and you dream about them, that was a book worth reading. And that's exactly what this book did. I've even thought about these characters today in the terms of, like, wonder what happened. Well, I know they're not real, but it takes you and connected with them until that's what it makes you feel. And that's the mark of a good book.
Oh, absolutely. There was something I was going to ask you. Does he get his son back?
Yeah, his mother's just taking care of him. I mean, they're like kin to the king or something. They're actually super important. So he has the little boy was 3 when it happened, and he has the governor taking care of him at his mom's place because he's sort of a recluse at this point.
Yeah.
But as soon as he brings her in that next morning, you know, when they wake up and she tells him her true story of why she did what she did and the reason she asked for so much money, because she was trying to get them out of London back to the country where they could afford to live, that he took her to his manor and introduced her as his betrothed, and then just went immediately and got the license and called, got in touch with his mother and everything else, and they brought the little boy, who happened to be the same age as her little brother, And it just, everything worked out wonderful for him. And the little boy ended up loving her, too. She was a great character. She's a strong person, but she's not overbearing. She's not whiny. You know, it's just they were both mature, and it happened at exactly the right time in the strangest of circumstances. But it was beautifully woven together.
That
unbelievable.
Is so great.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you enjoyed it. So we're going to give it 5 stars or sparkles. Do you do sparkles?
Sparkles, yeah.
Yeah, sparkles. Let's do sparkles. Okay, obviously you've been tasting
sparkly.
Mallory's wine.
Yeah,
what about Mallory running away?
I don't know. What's up with that? She's so important, you know?
I know. Leanne and I have been talking about it. Leanne, tell us again the 2 places where we think she may have gone.
Incognito or incommunicado.
Which are
now,
all south of the border.
Right. Well, now, communicado is right, I think it's south of Jacksonville. No, St. Augustine. It's south of... St. Augustine, there in Florida, and the other place is north, Cognito is north of Cozumel in Mexico.
Yes, but
it could be either one to get away from this cold weather. That'd be
right. Oh, by the way, I have some really bad news for everyone.
Oh, no.
Yeah, some bad news. I did not win the lottery. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I did not win, but if I do win, I'm paying off everybody's house.
You're a saint. So did
I know.
You actually buy a ticket, though?
Honey, I bought 5 tickets.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Now, get this. I voted against the lottery in Tennessee. I'm just going to tell people my politics. I voted against the lottery. I've never bought a Tennessee lottery ticket, and I bought 5 of them. I just said, what the heck? You know what I'm saying, ladies?
Yeah. Yep.
I figured somebody's going to have to win it sooner or later. It may as well be me.
You would deserve it.
That's right, because I'm a good girl.
That's right. You are.
That's right. Okay, so Ms. Shimmers has told us all about V.L. Edwards' latest book. Thank you, Ms. Shimmers.
Thank you so much for
having me.
See you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And now we're going to bring on Josie McCade. And, Leanne, I'm handing over the reins to you.
What?
Yes. Josie, welcome to Hummingbird Place, your home for romance.
Hi. Thank you for having me back. I enjoyed being here.
Love having you. I'm training Leanne, so I'm going to let her interview you. And if I don't like it, I'll tell her here in just a minute, just like Sheldon would do on The Big Bang Theory.
I don't think they do this to Gelman on Live. I just don't think they do this. Gelman is always behind the scenes.
All right.
I do want to hear about the Mason Dixon, the line is drawn. This is intriguing. I do want to know more about this.
Well, thank you. It is the first book in actually the Mason Dixon series. And it kind of began because I laughingly call myself my family's token Yankee. All of my family is from the South, but I was raised mostly in the North. So I kind of skirted that line a lot as a kid growing up. And my mother used to tease me that I was like the little Mason-Dixon line. So this book has kind of been brewing in my head for a while. And basically the premise of the book is there's 2 sisters. One that's a Bama gal. She was raised outside of Talladega. And the other one is Boston Prout, raised in Massachusetts. And they both receive a cryptic letter one day after the sudden death of each of their parents, who were single parents. And once they get this letter and they go to Washington, D.C., they soon discover that they were separated as twins because their parents were some sort of super secret spy people. And so they got separated to, you know, keep their kids safe. But now that they've gotten together, they're not quite so safe anymore. And they're sent off to a safe house, you know, by like a WITSIC program. And trying to investigate what their parents were really about and what they really did and were really into, they decide to open their own private investigation firm as kind of a cover for their quest. But it actually turns out that they're pretty darn good at being PIs. And so as you can imagine, Boston and Bama have their moments of mixing between, you know, politics and going back and forth across that line.
Oh, this sounds wonderful.
It was a lot of fun to write, and the release day was today, and so far I've gotten a couple reviews, and they've really been rave reviews about it, so that makes me just all tingly. It's not just the frost out here. I'm really tingly.
Okay, Josie, tell me this. You said you were that your family is Southern, but you were raised up north. Now, see, I'm the same way. My family is from Charleston, West Virginia, and Newport, Tennessee, and I was raised in a Jersey Shore town right outside of New York City.
Ah, okay.
So I totally understand. I totally get it. And, you know, here's something I've always wanted to say to people. All of my growing up, I was berated by people because I was from the South, and whenever the Civil War came up, I was berated over that. And yet, my mother was from West Virginia, which went with the North. That's why it's West Virginia, not still part of Virginia. And I'm from East Tennessee, which almost left Tennessee because there were so many Northern sympathizers. So really, I was on the Northern side of the Civil War. I just want to say that. Can I say that, people?
You know. Well, it's kind of like, you know, I love to travel, and my husband and I have, you know, by the grace of God, been able to go to 49 of the 50 states. And it's, you know, when I go back home, my mother's from Lee County, Virginia. And, you know, my dad was from Tennessee, and I have aunts and uncles sprinkled over every state in the South. And the first thing I get, because that accent, because my family's from there, I'll pick it up fairly quickly once I go home. But they're like, you're a redneck. And I said, you know, I've traveled 49 states, and redneck is not defined by geography.
That's right. Boy, that's the truth. That is much the truth.
And yeah, I agree. And, you know, being up north, you know, people have their misconceptions about people north of that line and misconceptions about south of it. And sometimes, you know, it's kind of like the book. Both of these girls have their preconceived notions about each other, and as they, you know, are thrust into living together, they kind of figure out we're not really that much different.
Now, do they meet gentlemen and fall in love?
Well, yeah, there is a romance, but it's a backstory.
Okay.
The mystery and thriller part kind of takes front seat. There's a caretaker at the house, and his name is Fender, just Fender.
just Fender.
And but there's some little sprinkles through the book that says he might be more than just a caretaker. And there's an FBI agent who's on assignment there with that's going to be set primarily in Virginia Beach, Virginia. And there's an FBI agent who has been sent there on assignment from the FBI, so they kind of make his life miserable. One of the girls has fallen for him, and one of the girls has fallen for Fender. So, yeah, it's a little backstory there.
Now, is this the last, I mean, or is this going to be a series?
This is going to be a series. You know, each book they will solve, they will investigate a murder, because in the last one, a body just happened to wash up on one of them on the beach. And
I hate it when that happens.
I know. It just
I hate to be at the beach.
Horrible.
I'm sitting there. I've got my feet all covered in sand and everything. And suddenly there's a body at my feet.
There's a body. Yeah.
I know. It just.
Well, at
I
least
hate
it didn't land
happens.
In your lap, you know? Your feet
really.
Would be better than it landing in your lap.
Absolutely.
So, you know, they do some things like break into a morgue and that kind of thing to help solve this mystery, this murder. But the back current in all the stories, each one of the books will be they get a little bit closer to solving the mystery of their parents. So through it all, you know, they will solve and investigate murders and different things as they go. But the backstory is always going to be one step closer through the series. To what their parents were really doing and involved with.
Right.
Mm.
Well, that sounds wonderful. And so is that what's in the future for Josie McCade, is to continue to write to Mason Dixon?
That will be one of them. The next book I have, I also write a romantic comedy series called The Three Bears, and it's the Bear Brothers of Wyoming.
I remember that.
The Christmas book just came out. About mid-year, there will be an additional book in The Bears. And then I have another mystery series called Between the Lines. Two of those books are out, and the third one will be out probably by fall in that series. So I'm looking to about three books this year coming out.
Great.
Yeah.
That's fabulous, Josie. I'm so glad for you. Ladies and gentlemen, Josie McKay. Josie, our time has drawn nigh, as we say. But thank you so much for being on. And everyone, now tell us again the name of the book.
Mason Dixon, The Line is Drawn by Josie McKay.
Mason Dixon, The Line is Drawn. And that's Josie McKay. Josie is J-O-C-I-E, and McKay is M-C-K-A-D-E. And we just have loved having you again. You come back anytime, okay?
Oh, well, thank you so much. And you guys stay warm because we're freezing here.
it is freezing here. Where are you?
Well, I am in a little tiny burg just northeast of Cincinnati, Ohio.
Well, we are in East Tennessee, and it was 16 degrees this morning.
Oh, holy cow, that's really cold for you guys.
I was cold. I went to put the dog out this morning, he was like, "You got to be kidding me, man. I'm not sitting out here.
Yeah, I'm not going out. You can't make
me." No, he said, "I'll freeze my, oh, no, I won't freeze those off. They're already gone." So, I mean, so anyway, it has been cold. Bebo will tell you. Anyway, thanks again for being on.
Oh, thank you so much. You did a great job. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Josie McCade, and she has got a lot going on this year. Leanne, we don't even know what we're going to do next week.
I am waiting to hear back, but hopefully we will. But while we have a moment, I've got a joke for you. Talking about cold weather.
Mm-hmm.
What happened when the vampire crossed Frosty, the snowman?
So like he bit him or something?
Yeah, what happened if you crossed Frosty the snowman?
Oh, if you crossed Frosty the snowman and a vampire. I don't know. What would happen?
You get frostbite.
And you had the nerve to tell that on my radio show. Gelman, you are back behind the scenes.
Hey, I had a lady from Alaska tell me that yesterday. She had insomnia, Donna. She had not slept for 4 days.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, and she was cracking those jokes and telling me, and I was like, scratching my head thinking, okay, what could that be, you know?
But, I mean, what were you, were you on Facebook or what?
No, I was at my, I was selling jewelry.
Oh, you were at your other job.
My other job, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You get all sorts.
Yes, you do. Well, we're going to hear a little bit from Dark Hollows Press, and then we're going to be going. But everybody, don't forget Romancing the Smokies. And thank you, Leanne Tyler, a.k.a. Gelman, for being on with me tonight.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm just not as punchy as you are. Sorry.
That's okay. There's only room for one punchy girl anyway.
Okay, good.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, my good friend and sidekick, my Gelman, Leanne Tyler, who had her 29th birthday last Monday, by the way. And we're going to hear from Dark Hollows Press, and then we'll talk to you next week.
Dark Hollows Press is a publisher of romance whose authors present high-quality stories full of desire. They welcome submissions from both new as well as established authors. They offer a built-in reader base, professional editing, cover design and marketing, worldwide distribution, and competitive royalties paid monthly. Dark Hollows Press publishes all genres of romantic expression from historical to fantasy, sci-fi to contemporary, and now urban fantasy and new adult. Find submission guidelines or find a new favorite book or author at darkhollowspress.com. Hummingbird Place, your home for romance, with your hostess, Donna Wright, is brought to you by Dark Hollows Press, and produced by Leanne Tyler. Production manager, Jackie DeVera. All music provided by Kevin MacLeod and Incompetech.com.